If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the Old Testament. It's about the 8th book, I think, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. And if you're new to the Bible, it'll just have a 1 in front of Samuel. And then later on, there's a 2 in front of Samuel. So 1 Samuel, or one of our presidents one time said, 1 Samuel, or whatever he was thinking, 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel, and chapter number 27. Chapter 27. If you have a cell phone, if you'd be so kind to turn it on vibrate or on mute right now, that would be a huge blessing. And make a quick announcement. At 5:30 in the office, for the young men that feel like they may be a missionary or be in the ministry in the future, we'll have a little class today for about 20 minutes and just some training in the office area if you would like to attend that. That's for all the young men that feel led maybe in the future. They'll be in the ministry. We'll just try to give you some thoughts. 1 Samuel chapter number 27, and I'm going to read aloud if you'd like to follow along with me, and we'll kind of tie this together. Notice what it says in verse number 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. This is when the king has gotten very bitter at David. David had killed the giant when he was 17. And someone wrote a song about it. It made the top 10 on the chart. And the song was, King Saul has killed his thousands. David has killed his 10,000s. Well, the king got very jealous and was unforgiving, got bitter. And every time he saw David, he tried to kill David. So now King Saul has his whole army chasing David through the wilderness. He's going to kill this young shepherd boy. So David is running for his life. And he says, there's nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me and seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch. You ever heard of this place? King of Gath. You remember Gath? Goliath of Gath. This is Goliath's hometown. What is David doing in the hometown of Goliath? So he ends up, he's around this king called Achish. Then verse 6, then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Ziklag was a town about 20 miles away from where this king of Gath lived. And we don't have time to read the whole thing, but if you'll skip over into chapter 29. Now, the Philistines, or the people in Gath, are now gathering together. David is with them. David has brought his small army, probably a couple thousand total men. And now the king, Achish, is ready to attack Israel. Israel is David's country. But now David has mixed in with the heathen country for safety. And now he's being ordered, it's time to go into battle. He's going to be fighting against his own king. He's in a precarious situation. And notice, someone notices David in the army in verse 3, 29:3. And he says, what do these Hebrews here? What's this guy doing here? And it's interesting, verse 5, is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances? David at this time is almost 30 years of age. So when they wrote that song, it was 13 years before. But that song must have been so popular in the Philistine nation, they had heard that song and still knew that song 13 years later. They're saying, isn't this the guy they wrote the song about? He had killed thousands of us. It's like, what's wrong with this picture? This isn't the guy we want to go to battle with. I think he may turn on us. And they end up telling him, you have to stay. You can't go to battle with us. It was a very confusing time with David. I love David. He's called the man after God's own heart. God says how David feels about things is how I feel about things. David had so many great qualities, but you would look at David's life like a checkerboard. If you've ever played checkers or chess, there's dark spaces and light spaces. When David was good, he was very good. When David was bad, he was very bad. It kind of sounds like some people in this room, like all of us. And so here's this little story. Now, here's what we take up with the story, and then we'll give you these thoughts. Chapter 30, verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag. You remember, that's David's city. The king gave it to him. That it said on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. They were kidnapped. Then David and the people that were with them lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. You ever been there? You cried and cried till you said, I don't even think I have any more tears. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. And let me encourage you here. When families and marriages and companies and relationships fall into turbulent times, you want to be very careful what you say. You want to be very careful who you blame. David had lost his family. They had lost their family. They had lost their houses. David had lost his house. They were equal in what they had lost. David did not make them go on that journey with him. He said, I'm going. They said, we're going too. But they're very quick to blame him. Be careful. Sometimes when a family's got an issue, you can blame all you want to, when really you ought to spend that same energy trying to fix it. And so they start picking up stones. And stoning did not mean they were just going to hit David with rocks. It meant they would hit him till he was dead. It was a public execution. Now the people he has helped for years, those that were in debt, distressed, discouraged, now they're picking up stones and they're blaming David. They want to kill him. So you kind of get this scenario. Here's smoke coming up from the city. No little children giggling and laughing and playing hopscotch. No wives. Hey, we're cooking supper. They're all gone. Everything's gone. David was greatly distressed. The people spake of stoning him because of the soul of all the people was grieved. And every man for his sons and his daughters. What do you do? David was running for his life. He's just trying to stay alive. And it kept getting worse and worse. You don't get much worse than that, do you? Your house is burned down. Now your whole family's gone. They're not killed, but the heathen now own your family. You'll probably never see them again. Doesn't get much worse than that one. What would you do? Some of you would say, Pastor, that's probably when I'd just jump off a bridge or something. Maybe you'd get bitter and curse God. Guess what David did? No wonder he's such a hero. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. So here's David. What's his choice? He can quit. He can turn back. He can blame those other men. He could blame God, but he doesn't. While he is surrounded, smoke is coming up. People have got great big old rocks, hot tears on all their faces. They're saying, who's going to throw the first stone? David looks up and encourages himself and the Lord, not just the Lord, but his God. It was a personal thing. David had a relationship with God even before this trial ever happened. And let me encourage you, if you're going to be the wise man that builds your house upon the rock, you don't wait till crisis to find the Bible and dust it off. You don't wait till everything's falling apart and find your prayer place and try to get a hold of God. You want to have all of that before those storms come. Discouragement. Discourage. It means without courage. The devil's biggest tool in his arsenal against people is discouragement. We get weary. We can't go on. We're at the end of the road. I'm at the end of my rope. And whether you're saved and you're a Christian or you're lost and you're not a Christian, these hard times will come. The difference is a non-Christian must go through it alone. A Christian gets to go through it with the Lord God, his help. I read years ago about the hero of Vallejo, Jeff Gordon. He was racing in the Colgate 500. He's on his little speaker to his pit crew. He said, "Do I have enough fuel to make it around? I got one more lap to go." He said, "It's close." They said, "No, we figured it out. You'll make it. You're going to win the race. You're in the lead." He said, "Are you sure?" They said, "We're sure." About that time, he ran out of fuel. Pulled over on the side as every car passed him, and he lost the race. You ever been a little discouraged? You pray for God to send you $100 in the mail, and the mail comes, and sure enough, you get some mail, but it's a bill for $200. You get a notice, they're raising your internet service, they're raising your phone service, they're raising your house payment, the owner's raising the rent. You go to the grocery store and you say, "I need a co-signer to buy groceries now." You turn on the news and you want to sell your television. Friends of a lifetime pass away. You know, somehow when we're a little kid, we always think everything's going to stay the same. And as you get older, people you love and you care about, they pass into eternity. We miss them. Today's my dad's birthday. He'd have been 96. He was the oldest living Ray. He lived to be 89. I miss him a lot. He's in my phone 3 times. Dad, Daddy, and Dad. I can't take him out of the phone. Life's hard. You're not going to make it without encouragement. This world will not encourage you. A lot of people will not encourage you. They discourage me when I drive on the streets of Napa. They say things to me. They hold up their hand and sometimes they just have one finger in the air. They are not encouraging me. Several observations about this story. One, David was where he should not have been. David was a godly man that always asked advice before he made a major decision. In this story, however, King Saul says, "I'm going to kill you, son." David makes, because of fear, he makes a quick decision, takes his armies, and they flee. There were 12 tribes of Israel. Israel owned a lot of land. But he went to the heathen land, the Philistine, the enemies of God, where Goliath was on the seacoast. He fled there. God said, "You're not even supposed to be there." Sometimes fear can make you make quick decisions that are very unwise decisions. So now David is around all these heathen that hate his country, hate his king, and they hate his God. And soon the heathen king is trusting David. Now David is lying to the king. David, where were you today? Well, I was just about. David wasn't telling the whole truth. Why? He was running for his life. God would take care of him. So now he's with the wrong crowd. He's with the heathen. And I'm sure his relationship was not as close as it should have been. I doubt he wrote any hymns or any psalms at this time. He was not where he should have been. I want to say this. If you're going to receive encouragement that you need from the Lord, you better let go of all sin, habits, attitudes, or anything that's between you and him. God will not encourage someone that is not heading the same direction that God's heading. Hey, David, you want some encouragement? Get out of Gath. What are you doing there? You know, I was thinking about Adam and Eve this week. I think about them a lot, and I feel sorry for them. I think of Adam when he took that fruit. How many of you think it was an apple? Hold your hand up. Pear, persimmon, ghost pepper. I think it was probably a crawfish, to be honest with you. I don't know what the fruit was, but if it was an apple, he's now taking a bite. Then he hears a voice, Adam, where art thou? He's just sewed the fig leaves together. He knows he's naked. He's guilty. He's fearful. He's ashamed. He's blaming her. You think when he finally walked up to God and they started talking again, he held on to the apple? I think he quickly got rid of it. Here, Eve. It's not even mine. Here. You can't hold on to the apple and hold on to God's hand. You cannot hold on to the God who encourages in any type of sin. You're going to have to make a choice. You can have the sin, and sin will always discourage you. It'll always deflate you. It'll always bring fear and shame and all those things. David wasn't where he should have been. I want to say this too, and I'll give you the points. We'll be going. Encouragement is between you and the Lord, not somebody else. David, they're going to stone you. What are you going to do? Well, I'm waiting on a text from a friend. I'm waiting on someone to send me a cute little meme on Facebook or something. I'm waiting for the pastor to stop by. I'm waiting for a check. Waiting for someone to call with good news. Folks, if you're going to wait on someone else to keep you pumped up and encouraged, you're not going to make it. It's between you and the Lord. D.L. Moody, great Christian servant who won a million souls, he said this, God has never used a discouraged servant. When you're discouraged, you're not going to be used by the Lord. Mama, you got to encourage yourself. Daddy, you're going to have to encourage yourself. Young person, only one serving God at your house, you're going to have to encourage yourself. Single parent, you're going to have to encourage yourself. Because if you don't, there's enough to discourage you where you're just going to roll over and just give up. So what did David do practically? There are several actions he took. I want to give it to you. Number one, we already said it. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Now stop for a second. So what did he do? The Bible doesn't detail it. It just says he encouraged himself. What do you think he did? I think maybe he started singing. The love of God is greater still. I don't know what he sang. Don't throw the stones. Don't throw the stones. I don't know what he started singing. Maybe he looked up and said, God loves me. Maybe he just said that out loud. Maybe he said, and people love me. And the cross proves God's love. The empty tomb is encouraging. Maybe he quoted the verse, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. Maybe he quoted the verse, but all things work together for good to them that love God. Maybe he quoted that verse. Maybe he thought of past victories when he killed the lion with God's help, killed the bear with God's help, killed the giant with God's help. Maybe he thought about God's plan for his life. I think maybe he thought about when Samuel anointed him to be king over Israel. That would mean he couldn't die until he became king. Somehow David thought or sang or spoke. He did something that encouraged his heart to keep going. They just sang a song. Did you hear it? Roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from, where I could have been. There's people in this room right now. If you'd have got caught, you'd been in jail right now. If you'd have got caught doing something you did, you didn't get caught, so you're not in jail the rest of your life. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God. Others overdosed, you did not. Others got a DUI, you did not. Others divorced, and somehow by the grace of God, your marriage stayed together. God's been good to us. God says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Number two, you ready? I know. It's been long. Been a hard day's night, said the Beatles. Oh, okay, so number two, he inquired of the Lord. See, he forgot to do that when he moved into Achish's territory. He didn't ask God anything. He just moved on fear. See, folks, sometimes it's not the decisions you and I make. It's how did we come about them? I'm leaving California. I'm leaving the old lady. She doesn't cook three times a week. Three times a week. Okay. It's how you came about that decision. So David inquires of the Lord. He calls the priest or the preacher and he says, should we pursue? Should we go after these people? Are we going to get our families back? Folks, a sign of pride is never asking anybody's advice. You and I, no matter how old we are, no matter how many degrees we think we have from college, we are not smart enough to know every answer to every situation in our life. You would do well to ask some wise people some advice. You'd do well to take this book here and search through the book of Proverbs and see, does God say anything about my situation? Is there a story that relates to me? Am I in the Bible? How does this turn out? James 1:5, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberally. Here's what that means. Lord, I don't know what to do here. Show us what to do. When my wife was getting ready to have her fifth or sixth surgery, the doctor came in and said, here's what we're thinking about doing. I said, what do you think, babe? And we'd ask the Lord, what do you think? Is this the right thing to do? You know, we've got to make this call. What are we supposed to do here? Your heavenly Father wants to guide you. And it doesn't matter how big a mess you've made of your life, God is good at working on messes. He knows, okay, so here's what we have to work with. Here's what you need to do. Here's where you start. Number one, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Number two, he inquired of the Lord. Number three, he helped someone worse off. The Bible says as they started to pursue this troop, someone found an Egyptian. You don't see many of those around, do you? That's supposed to be funny. Okay. So they found this Egyptian. He was a servant or a slave. He had fallen sick in the battle and was laying on the ground dying. David's troops, they fed him. They gave him water and they said, so, what do you know? Who are you? Where have you been? He said, me and our army and my master went into Ziklag and burned it and took all the people captive. David said, you know where they are? Yes, I do. He said, I'll show you where they are if you don't kill me or give me back to my owner. David said, okay. Here's what David did. David helped someone that was worse off than himself. Here's a man dying in the field, so sick. Now he's starving. David helped him. Now, this is total opposite of what you want to do. When you're discouraged, you know what you want to do? Stop taking your calls. Stop answering texts. On Sunday, stay home. Sunday night, stay home. Wednesday night, stay home. Vegetate. Turn the TV on 48 hours a day. Maybe take another step. Go to the store, buy a six-pack, drown your problems. If that's not enough, get you another six-pack, drown your problems. Sniff something, shoot something, snort something. And guess what? When you wake up, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. God's got the answers that you need. Only God's got the solution. What did David do? He's all discouraged. They're going to stone him. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He inquired what to do. You ready? He helped someone worse off than himself. What's that mean, Pastor? You got problems? You got difficulties? Go out on a bus route on Saturday. Go visit some of the poor neighborhoods where the family's in disarray. Go visit them. They got five cars on jacks and none of the cars run. There's addiction issues. There's a missing dad or a missing mom. Go invite them to church. Go to the jail on a Tuesday night where everyone's innocent. And take a night of your life to share some good news that Jesus loves them. Go to an addictions program on Friday nights to encourage someone else to whip their addiction. There's somebody worse off. Go up to the veterans home, visit one of our men in our church that's been there for several months and just encourage them and say, "We miss you, Brother John." It won't get rid of your problems, but it'll shrink them. You'll say, "I don't have any problem. Brother Schulte, I don't think he's walked in several months. I got to walk inside here today. I got it pretty good." I called Jerome Serrano yesterday. It's been now 7 months since the explosion at Chevron. 80% of his body's burned. They're just now working on putting in some type of a little voice box. I was able to talk to him on the phone. His ears burned, face, skin grafts. If you walked in there, you'd say, "I don't know who this is." You would not recognize who he is. He's been laying in that bed 7 months. "I got it pretty good. I got it pretty good. Well, my husband doesn't get the door for me." He's not burned on 80% of his body laying in a hospital bed. "We got it pretty good." Pursue. "Pastor, why should I pursue? Why should I get up just one more time and get back at it?" You got kids to raise. You got souls to win. We have young people to train. We have missionaries to send. By the way, I got a good text from Bradley today. We're in our new building. To the Britz's son-in-law. They lost their building. Now they got one. It's remodeled. It's sharp. He's so excited about it. "Well, Pastor, I'm one of those people. I don't have any problems. I have no idea what you're talking about today." Well, good. We can't wait till you have problems. How old was David at this time? You ready? 30. How much longer did he live? 40 years. Hey, there's life after your trial. "Well, I'm going through this and it's all over." You may have 40 more years. Inez, the pain will end. It will. I think it's 7 years. My knees started feeling better after 7 years. The pastor's such a discouragement, isn't he? No, it wasn't 7 years. Pastor, what do you do when you face discouraging times? Here's the secret. Don't tell anybody. I pray out loud. You know, God is the only person we talk to silently. Why do we do this? Next time you husbands and wives go out somewhere to eat, just sit in the restaurant and just look at each other. Why aren't you talking? I'm talking to you silently. God is the only one we treat like he's not a real person. When you pray, pray out loud. Second, read your Bible out loud. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. As you hear the word, it strengthens you. It gives you encouragement. I want to say this too. Constant music. Constant godly music in the background. What's it do? The Lord is my strength and song. Those two go together. It's something about filling your mind with songs that are talking about heaven and God's love. And God has a purpose and God's got a plan. What do? Heavy on the soul winning. Heavy on the soul winning. During our COVID time, when we thought the world was going to end and aliens were going to come get us and everyone had to have a mask and the shields. And I mean, it just got strange to me. Maybe you just thought it was just normal and it was great. But I was depressed. I was discouraged. Then we could only have church online. It's me and a person in the sound booth. Some of you need to get right with the Lord. It's one person here. You know what I did? I went neighborhood to neighborhood with my little mask, knocked on the door, 10 feet back. Hey, I'm the pastor from the church. If you died, would you go to heaven? I'm witnessing 10 feet away. But I went heavy on the soul winning. What do? Avoid negative people. Some of you say, Pastor never shakes my hand. Well, like I said, avoid negative people. And I want to say this too. Remember this. There's something left. A verse that just threw me out of my chair. The Bible says David recovered all. They went into this battle. None of their wives or children were killed. They recovered their wives, children, all their gold, their silver, all their stuff. They recovered all. That's what the scripture says. They didn't lose anything. Now don't forget the story. Their city's what? Starts with the letter B. Ziklag is what? Burned. David goes into battle with his men who decided not to stone him. They get everything, rescue the people, and they come back to Ziklag. Well, I thought it was burned. I guess it wasn't all burned, was it? I guess there was something left, wasn't it? You don't come back, live for another month or two in a town where there's nothing there. Must have still had their fruit trees. Maybe the wells were still there. Some of the houses weren't burnt to the ground. There was something left. And I want to encourage you here today. No matter how messed up your marriage is, no matter how messed up your family is, no matter how messed up your life is, there's something left. God looks at you and says, it's not all burned. It's not all gone. I still have a plan. You're still breathing. Amen. And I want to say this. It was still his city. Achish gave Ziklag to David. Okay, it got burned. Guess what? Still David's city. You and I, sometimes we're going to get burnt. People are going to burn us financially, burn us emotionally, burn our name, try to hurt us, ex-mates. Still your city. Hey, parents, your child is wayward. They've made you cry. You worry. You can't sleep at night. They're still your kids. Grandma, grandpa, those grandkids, they're still your grandkids. Husbands, wives, that mate's still your mate. I love this story, and I'm done with it. I'm not done with the... Well, anyway, I think you know what I'm talking about. So I'm this history buff. I love Napoleon. He was the perfect height for a real man. He was 5'4". He wasn't a freak. He wasn't 5'5", 5'6", 5'7". He wasn't a freak or something. Normal man. He was in this famous battle of Waterloo against Wellington. I think the year was 1813. And the people were wondering in England, have we won or have we lost? This was the pivotal battle. So there were watchmen looking off of Westminster Cathedral into the ocean. A ship flashed the news. The news came to the coast. And the coast showed the sign. Wellington for England, Napoleon for France. A lot of fog was there. And the sign said, Wellington defeated. Those who saw it, they were just so broken. They knew that Napoleon had won and England had lost. Then the fog started to clear, and they looked at the sign and it said, Wellington defeated the enemy. Some of you today, you're in a fog and you feel pretty defeated. 2,000 years ago, there must have been a fog, and the sign said, Jesus defeated. Then about 3 days later, that fog lifted and it said, the enemy, our Savior, will defeat that discouragement. Hang in there, folks. It's a season. It won't last a lifetime. If David and his dire straits can encourage himself, you can encourage yourself, because there's more to do. And there's more life ahead. You're not done. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven one day. God has kept you alive for this decision to receive Him as your personal Savior. Some of you got saved last week. Some of you need to be saved today. Others of you just need to say, Lord, I'm not quitting. I'm not turning back. By God's grace, I might have such a close relationship with the Lord that I know where to find Him during discouraging times.